Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Amen. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. What a privilege and an honor to be here today. You're my brothers and my sisters. I'm so thankful. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Praise God. And I love your pastor and his wife. They are absolutely incredible people. I love Pastor and Sister Brownie. Let's give them a hand. Praise the Lord. Amen, 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 amen. Praise God. I think this is the second time I've been privileged to preach here. And I'm thankful for what God is doing here. There's a whole lot newer faces. I don't recognize quite a few of you, and I think that's great. The church of God is growing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 I feel in prayer, I just feel directed to draw your attention to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, and beginning at verse number 1. And pray the Lord will help us here today. I need his help. I can't do this on my own. I've been pastoring for 34 years. I started when I was 4 years old. That was a joke, all right. Sorry. 34 years I've been pastoring. And I knew it all when I started. I felt like I had to have the answer for everybody and everything. And the longer I've pastored, the more I realize I don't know anything. But I know him, and I know the one that has the answer for everything, and I need Jesus today. And I just asked my father what he wanted us to say today, and he directed my thoughts and to this passage of scripture here today. I love what Brother Brownie, Pastor Brownie has said, come with a cup. To receive what the Lord has for us here today. I can't make you listen to me. I can't make you respond. And the Lord won't make you listen, and he won't make you respond. But if our heart is open here today, I believe something supernatural will happen in each and every one of our lives. 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, amen. Would you stand? I would prefer if you'd stand, but amen. I love this Bible. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go, I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord, and sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. I really hesitate to preach on this for a variety of reasons, but I so feel my father told me to say this today. I am not... And this is not any false sense of humility. I am not an expert on this subject. I wish I was better at it. But I am a product of what I'm going to try and preach to you here today. I want to preach to you about shielded and strengthened by sacrifice. Shielded and strengthened by sacrifice. You've worshiped and it's been beautiful, and I feel God's presence. You've plowed as Judas plowed. The presence of God is here. But I wonder if we could pray one more time before we're seated and ask God to speak to us here, each and every one of us. Lord, my heart is open here today. I know that I've been chosen to be the preacher here today, but that doesn't mean that I don't need to hear from you and receive what you're trying to say to this church here today. I pray, Father, that each and every one of us, Lord, will experience and receive what you have for us. I pray, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, not just in this service as in heaven, but Lord, in my life and in our lives, each of us individually as it is in heaven. I pray this, Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise. You're amazing. The first king of Israel, Saul, had been rejected by God. Saul refused to submit his life to the authority God had placed in his life. Saul could not wait for Samuel. Saul did not obey the Lord's command to kill all the Amalekites and everything that belonged to the Amalekites. Very simply, King Saul was rebellious and he was disobedient. God told the prophet Samuel, "I am looking for another king outside the family of Saul." The Lord told Samuel to fill his horn with oil, for God was sending Samuel to the city of Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse, where he would anoint one of Jesse's sons to be the next king over Israel. The only problem was that Saul was watching Samuel's every move. Samuel the prophet, Saul was no respecter of persons, and he was in a bad place, and he was out to get anybody who would somehow try and remove him from being the king of Israel. And so Samuel was afraid that Saul would kill him if he went to anoint a new king. The Lord knew exactly, though, what would protect Samuel. Again, 1 Samuel 16, verse 2. And Samuel said, "How can I go, Saul? If Saul hear it, he'll kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with thee and say, 'I am come to sacrifice to the Lord.'" If Samuel would take a heifer for sacrifice and go to Jesse and tell anybody and everyone who asks, "I've come to sacrifice to the Lord." The Lord was very well aware of the fact of the circumstance and the environment in which Samuel was. He knew the climate and the attitude and the mood of Saul. He was very well aware of that. And he was not somehow discounting the concern that Samuel had. But the Lord was giving him a very important principle for, I believe, each and every one of us here today. And that is, Samuel, you'll be safe. And Israel will have a new king if you'll tell everybody, "I've come to sacrifice to the Lord." I'm here to tell you today, there is protection in sacrifice. I'm here to tell you today, according to the word of the Lord, that sacrifice shields a person. To try and prove my point, in the life of Samuel, earlier in his life, the nation of Israel, the Philistines had come to attack Israel, and Israel had gathered together at the city of Mizpah. The Philistines thought that Israel would be most vulnerable because they were all gathered together at the city Mizpah. So the Bible tells us that the Philistines attacked Israel, 1 Samuel 7, verse 9, and Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, a sacrifice holy unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomforted them, and they were smitten before Israel. Again, let me make it very clear. Here Israel had gathered together. They had come to the city of Mizpah. They were vulnerable. It looked like they would be attacked. They didn't have centuries. They had just gathered together to focus on the Lord. And Samuel said, "Hey man, we're going to focus on the lamb right now. And we're going to offer a sacrifice unto the lamb." And the Philistines thought they could attack when Israel was focusing on the lamb. But I'll tell you something. If you're going to sacrifice to the lamb is going to protect you. Praise the Lord. And so when they came came. Amen. As they were focused, the people were afraid. And Samuel said, just keep on focusing on the sacrifice. Everything's going to be all right. And there was a thundering, praise the Lord. And God brought victory, amen, for Israel and protected them. Why? Because there is a protection in sacrifice. There is sacrifice shields, praise the Lord. Israel wasn't defeated, but the Philistines were the ones that lost the battle that day because there is something about sacrifice. As Christians, we're called to sacrifice. Paul wrote to the Romans. He said in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Amen. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We're called to be a living sacrifice. If you claim any part of Christianity, you cannot somehow exclude this. We are called to be a living sacrifice. Peter tells us that when the Lord saved us, we became part of a holy priesthood. And because of that, he said in 1 Peter 2:5, you're lively stones, built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We are, amen, amen, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Oh, Jesus teaching us that we're called to sacrifice when he said in Luke 9:23, he said this, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. We're called to be we're called to take up the cross. Every day that we live, we're called to sacrifice. But he also teaches us that there is a protection in sacrifice. For he goes on to say, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Praise the Lord. There's a principle over and over and over again in Scripture that if we are willing to sacrifice, there is a shield, there is a protection, there is an empowerment that comes when we are willing to be of our lives a living sacrifice. What sacrifice we are called to do varies by each life. Is it a real sacrifice to praise the Lord? It must be. Because the writer of Hebrews called it the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Now, if you just got that $1,000 a week raise, and you just got that new house and new car, and somebody just came up to you and said, I just feel like giving you $50,000. Well, I should hope you'd be pretty excited running around here praising the Lord. But I don't think that'd take much sacrifice. But if you're struggling here today and don't really know how you're going to make it, and you've had some issues that have gone on in your life, and some people have done you dirty and done you bad, and you're here and wondering what in the world's going on. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you something. And we talk about, the preacher talks about, hey, man, loving God and that he's on the throne, and we sing these songs and all sorts of stuff. And, you know, well, I don't know that he's on the throne, and I don't know. I don't feel so great right now, and I don't feel like everything's going good for me. Hey, man, but if you'll praise him, now that might be a sacrifice, but if you'll praise him, hallelujah, you just see what God will do, because he's on the throne. Whether you feel like it or not, he's on the throne. With everything's going good or everything's going bad, he's still in control, and he's going to work it out for good. My confidence is in him that he's going to do me good. So I'm going to give a sacrifice of praise. Oh, God. Humility is a sacrifice of praise. When we humble ourselves, because our pride wants to rule. If my people, which are called by my name, I'm called by his name. We're people of the name. And if we're people of the name, the first characteristic, the first trait, the first thing that we should do, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. I propose to you that humbling yourselves is a sacrifice. Because your pride wants to rule. Because you think you know what's best. I think I know what's best. But when we will humble ourselves before him, it's sacrifice. Prayer is a sacrifice. Because it requires time and effort and discipline. giving money as a sacrifice because we are under the mistaken concept that it's ours. When you give, God bless you for, he didn't ask me to say this, but I'm just, thank you for your support of this church. Amen. Thank you, amen, for your giving, praise the Lord, for your paying your tithes and giving your offering. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let that carpet fund, let every square be filled in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a sacrifice to give. I don't know what it's like. I know what it's like in West Bend. Angels do not come Monday morning and drop off money. Maybe they do here. But God has chosen to use us individuals as a channel, a conduit. Amen. To sacrifice. Samuel had to take a heifer, an unyoked cow, for a walk to Bethlehem. And everybody knew he was going to sacrifice. You don't take cows out for a walk, okay? And he took that cow and that heifer, and as he was taking that heifer, he was taking it, amen, and everybody knew that he was sacrificing. I've read this passage of scripture. I've read it over and over and over again, and I thought, my God, does everybody know, amen, about my life? Amen, am I living a life of sacrifice to God? Well, I'll tell you how they could know. Because when they did that, amen, the people of the town, the leaders of the town said, are you coming peaceably? And Samuel said, I am coming peaceably. I am convinced of this. If you're living a life of sacrifice, you're not trying to be contentious. If you're living a life of sacrifice unto God, you're not having to have your own way and having in fights and all of this. But there's going to be something around your life, and that is a peaceableness of your life. Praise the Lord. If you're living a life of sacrifice, what sacrifices we're called to do. I told you I'm not an expert on this subject, but I'm a product of it. What sacrifice we're called to do vary by each life, but we're called to sacrifice our wills to Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, amen, by the authority of the Word of God, the principles from the Word of God, if you're afraid, if you're troubled, if you're anxious, there is a protection in sacrifice. I'm here to tell you, by the authority of the Word of God, if you're troubled and don't have peace, and there's things going on in your life, and you wonder what in the world's going on, I challenge you to present your body a living sacrifice, because sacrifice shields, sacrifice empowers, sacrifice unto the Lord will strengthen your life. God called Samuel to go to Bethlehem, to the house of Jesse, to anoint the next king of Israel. David was the one who was chosen to be the next king of Israel. But more important than David, from the seed of David, the Messiah would come. Now hear me, fear almost stopped Samuel from going, amen, to the house of Jesse to anoint David. If he had not done that, what would have happened? But it was Samuel was shielded by sacrifice to anoint David to be king. So the purpose for God calling Samuel to sacrifice was to bring the anointing. I believe the anointing is birthed from sacrifice. The anointing oil was very special. Moses records these instructions for us from the Lord. Excuse me. Moses records these instructions from the Lord in Exodus 30. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of oil, olive, and hine, and thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil. Pure myrrh, which composed the anointing oil, was found in Africa and Arabia. Sweet cinnamon grows only in India on the Malabar coast or in Sri Lanka, some areas of Sri Lanka and some areas of China. There's no trace of it as cinnamon at all in Egypt. Sweet calamus was found in Syria. Cassia grows in India. Only olive oil was plentiful in Israel. Among other things, this sacred anointing oil was not easy to make. It required ingredients from other countries. So what's my point? My point is the very existence of anointing oil required sacrifice. Anointing is birthed from sacrifice. No one would argue the greatest sacrifice in the history of humanity was what took place on Calvary. Jesus Christ sacrificed his life for us. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe to give us the opportunity to experience salvation. It is very important for us to realize something, that Christ's sacrifice blinded hell. 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 8 says, which none of the princesses of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Oh, you hear me tonight, this afternoon. The devil will not have a clue to what you're up to if you're living a life of sacrifice. Amen. There's something powerful about sacrifice. Because of Jesus Christ's sacrifice, the veil in the temple was rent, the tomb was empty, the upper room was filled. I propose to you, the anointing of the Holy Ghost was poured out because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Sacrifice releases the anointing. Sacrifice releases the anointing. Sacrifice releases the anointing. I gotta have the anointing on my life. I've got to have the anointing on our church. I don't want to just go through the motions. I don't want to just sing a few songs. We've got to have the anointing. Oh God. Clap your hands to the Lord and give him praise. The psalmist writes about the seed of Abraham and how God protected them. Psalms 105, verse 12, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, amen, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. What has Israel traveled? Oh, the seed of Abraham traveled all over the place. They encountered many nations, and nations that appeared stronger than they, nations that wanted to take them out, but they were never taken out, not because of their military prowess or their genius, but they were never taken out because of who their God was, and because God had placed an anointing upon their life. The anointing of God is a seal of protection. Where the Spirit of God touches, it protects. The psalmist says in Psalms 28, the Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. You might feel weak. You might think, I just don't know how I could do it. But if the anointing of God is on your life, there's an empowerment. There is a strength in you. It doesn't matter how wicked this world is. Doesn't matter how dark this world is. How much sin might be abounding. Where there's an anointing, there's a strength. Whatever the anointing touches, it strengthens. Assyria had taken Israel captive and was after Judah. The Lord spoke through Isaiah and declared Assyria would be defeated. Isaiah 10, verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, referring to Assyria, and his yoke from off thy neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. It's the anointing. It's the anointing. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke, praise the Lord. It's the anointing. I'm telling you what, you could be, there could be an individual individual in bondage. They could be addicted to drugs, addicted. Amen. There was a man, amen, that was baptized in our church several years ago. Amen. His normal habit of after church, he would go home. He would light up a cigarette, and then he would light up some marijuana, and he would smoke some marijuana. After he had gotten baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost that day, he walked out, was going home. He went to light up a cigarette, and he took a puff, and he thought he almost got sick to his stomach, threw it down, went to the house, went to smoke some marijuana, and he got sick, and he realized he didn't want that anymore. What am I trying to tell you? Where there's the anointing of the Lord, the yoke is broken, praise the Lord. I got to have the anointing. I want the anointing on my life. I want the anointing in my church. I want the anointing in my home. The unicorn may have been some gigantic ox or buffalo, now unknown and perhaps extinct. Among the ancients, it was the favorite symbol of unconquerable power, the unicorn. The psalmist is declaring that during times of weakness and failings in strength, he will be revived. For he says in Psalms 92:10, "But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." The anointing revives and renews. I don't know about you. I can't talk about you. I can only talk about myself. I've got a history in this thing. I'm fourth generation apostolic Pentecostal on both sides. I've got an incredible heritage of where God brought me from. I can tell you and take you back to camp meetings. Amen. Where God blessed me and touched me. I can tell you about revival meetings where high water marks in my life. And I'm thankful. But if all I'm doing is living in the past, I'm going to be mighty weak. But I'll tell you what, I can have a fresh anointing today. I can have a fresh anointing today. And you can have a fresh anointing today. This isn't some historical event we're celebrating and talking about what God did for us in the past. I'm here to tell you, God can strengthen you. God can deliver you today. God can do something mighty powerful in your life. The anointing. So no one misunderstands me here. Our anointing oil is the Spirit of God. Only God gives the anointing. We cannot manufacture it. We cannot create it. We cannot duplicate the anointing. We cannot sing such fast songs to get us emotionally excited that that's going to cause the anointing. Amen. I cannot yell or scream. Your precious pastor cannot get up here and somehow try and work the crowd to get the anointing. We may be get emotional, but I'll tell you something. The only one that gives the anointing is God Almighty. The only one that causes the anointing to come down is God Almighty. But the devil and Satan have much in common. The devil, excuse me, and King Saul have much in common. They don't want anyone to experience the anointing. I'm going to say this again. Sacrifice releases the anointing. And the devil and King Saul of old, he don't want us. They don't want us to sacrifice. I think it's important for us to look at Saul's anointing in 1 Samuel 10. There's so much to this. And can I say this? And I failed to mention this, and I apologize. I have, at Purpose Institute, I have students, people from our church that are attending PI. And their favorite teacher is Brother Brownie. Brother Brownie's an incredible teacher. Amen. So I'm sure if you have any questions about this, number one, if I say anything that disagrees with your pastor's right and I'm wrong. And I mean that's absolutely, I'm in submission to this man. And I'm sure he can answer some questions from 1 Samuel 10. And I'm going to highlight this here. But this is important because this is where Saul was anointed king over Israel. Samuel anointed him. And Samuel told Saul that he would encounter three things that would confirm the fact that he had been anointed to be king over Israel. Three things. Saul would come to someone who would have information that his father's livestock had been found. Second thing is he will come across three men who will be going to worship the Lord, and these three men will give him two loaves of bread. And Saul will come in contact with a group of prophets, and he, Saul, will prophesy. Now, each of these was to confirm the fact that Saul was the anointed of the Lord. Now, what I find most amazing is what the three worshipers were carrying that Saul would come in contact with. Three worshipers. One man would be carrying three kids, not children, but baby goats. Have any of you been around goats at all? Baby goats. Can you imagine carrying three goats? Three puppies. Can you imagine carrying them? I mean, and he had to bring them alive. Now, he might have wanted to kill them earlier, but he had to bring them alive. And these three kids, these goats, are fighting. Now, why was that? The kids were for the sacrifice, the peace offering. In other words, a right relationship with God. And he is carrying these three kids. The second would be carrying three loaves of bread. Bread for meat, for a meat offering. So carrying three loaves of bread. The third would be carrying a bottle of wine for the drink offering. Now, I gotta admit to you, I've read this story numerous times, and perhaps you have too. And I thought, what's the deal? It's nothing to carry a bottle. It's no big deal to carry three loaves of bread. But to carry three kids. And I thought, well, you know, some people just want to sacrifice more than others. So I preached that. And the Holy Ghost smote me. Now this is me. This is me here. But I felt like the Lord spoke to me and said, you don't know. You don't know the lives of those people. What if the guy with three loaves didn't have any hands? The guy with the bottle of wine was missing a leg. Had to use crutches. You don't know. And that's why you better be careful when you look around and you think, oh, they're not sacrificing. You don't know. You don't know. Somebody could have put a $100 bill in the offering and think, whoa, they're really sacrificing. And somebody puts a few pennies in this jar and you think, well, the guy, the $100 guy, he sacrificed a whole lot more than the penny person. I beg to differ. You don't know and I don't know. And I'm not here to judge your sacrifice and you're not here to judge my sacrifice. The point is that each group sacrificed. Finding the livestock was a sacrifice. The three men going to Bethel with their offerings was a sacrifice. The prophets worshiping was a sacrifice. The sacrifice of these men was used by God to confirm the call of Saul. Saul's anointing was connected to the sacrifice of others. Saul's anointing was connected to the sacrifice of others. I'm going to say it again. Saul's anointing was connected to the sacrifice of others. Now, I know David was chosen to be king over Saul because of his rebellion. And this is my opinion only, my opinion only. Could it be that what caused Saul to fall into his rebellion was the fact that Saul forgot the sacrifice of others? Could it be that Saul lost the anointing because he forgot it was connected to the sacrifice of others? I am so concerned for our lack of appreciation for the sacrifice of others. This church has been here a long time. If I understand correctly the story, amen, Pastor Brownie's father saw a vision of this building, of this church, and he came, started a church, started a work here. There's a man in our church that was one of the first ones to be baptized, Brother Steve Campbell, by elder, by Bishop Brownie, and he even went out and bought a horse trough and so he could be baptized. Amen. You're most of us here, and I'm not trying to be ugly, but I wonder how many of us have really sacrifice. We didn't sacrifice to see this building here. Or very few of us did. We're sitting on chairs, pews that I wonder, did we pay for? We're walking in and enjoying the comfort of heat. Did we pay for it? I'm not trying to be ugly. What I'm trying to say is there are people before us that have sacrificed so we could be where we're at today. I don't want to forget that. I don't want to take that for granted. I don't want to somehow gripe and complain. I want to thank God people before me sacrificed. And I want to say, it's my turn. It's my turn. I want to be a part. I want to sacrifice. Oh, God. I'm here today. I wasn't going to say this. I've told this story. Maybe I've told it here before. Because it's such a part of me. But you understand? Amen. I'm here because of the sacrifice of others. I gotta go on. I don't wanna forget. My great-grandma Molenberg in Superior, Wisconsin, was having a cottage meetings. They were studying the book of Acts. One day, my great-grandma Molenberg, this was in the early 1900s, went to the mailbox. There, the mailbox was an envelope. The envelope simply said 1128 Weeks Avenue, Superior, Wisconsin. The return address was the Azusa Street Mission, Los Angeles, California. My great-grandmother thought this was very odd because she didn't know anybody in California in the early 1900s. They had no clue. Open up the envelope. There was no letter to personalize it. Nothing said to the Molenberg family. Nothing whatsoever. All that was in there was a track about the need to be speaking in other tongues. Amen. The initial evidence of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost was speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. And there was a Bible study, Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, that everybody that receives the Holy Ghost, they speak with other tongues. My great-grandma Molenberg thought this was strange, but she took it. She took the tract. She took her Bible. She studied it out. She saw, amen, that it was true. She took my grandma Ragnar, who was 6 years old. They happened to go up into her bedroom, laid out the Bible, laid out the tract. Amen. My great-grandma Molenberg said, if this is of God, we want to receive it. Immediately, both of them began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. The day my great-grandma Molenberg died, she never know who sent the track. The day my grandma Ragna died, she never know who sent the track. Amen. To this day, I don't know who sent that track. But because somebody, amen, sacrificed in prayer and sought after God, God laid our address on their heart, 1128 Weeks Avenue, Superior, Wisconsin. And I stand here today preaching to you because somebody sacrificed. In the spring of 2015, I had a life-changing experience happen in my life. My wife and I were asked to preach the United Pentecostal Church of Nigeria's National Ministers Conference. It was the first time I'd ever gone to Africa, and since then, God has seen fit. We have gone three other times, and we are, Lord willing, supposed to go in August to Zambia. But this, by far, was one of the most incredible experiences in my life. The Nigerian people were incredibly kind and respectful to us. I'm preaching long, aren't I? I'm sorry. I'll try and hurry here. I apologize. The Nigerian people were incredibly kind and respectful to us. They bowed before us. It was incredible. If you're older, have gray hair, they call you dad, they call you mom. and it's a respectful term. And we get out of the car, and they'd come and carry my satchel and carry Sister Booker's purse and would seat us these pretty uncomfortable chairs, but it was the best they had. And the sacrifice of these men to minister is staggering. No one has cars, so to get to the conference, they had to take public transportation, buses. A huge group came from the northern part of Nigeria, which took 12 hours by bus. The average bus trip was 3 to 4 hours. They stayed in the Bible school dorms, which I believe it's safe to say none of us would have stayed there. I won't even go into what the bathroom, the quote-unquote shower. No way any of us would stay there. Friday night was life-changing. Friday was a life-changing day for me. The McLeans, Brent and Sister McLean, we were with them, who are from the Milwaukee area. They're incredible people. Their living conditions, I could go on and on. Have to go to this market with an armed guard to buy food that doesn't look edible. And outdoor market that is just, they've had malaria so many times that the doctors say you'll never get rid of it. So man, Barnabas, who we met, he built a church. He built a church. Now, it's not this beautiful church like this, but he built a church and with his own funds. And the witch doctor of the village said, burn it down. So they burnt it down. Barnabas rebuilt it again, the same spot. The witch doctor said, burn it. He burnt it. They burnt it down to the ground. Barnabas built it again. And the witch doctor said, burn it down. Burnt it down. You know what Barnabas did? He built it again. And the witch doctor said, I don't think he's going away. Leave it be. From that church, there are 7 churches that have started. There are pastors from Abuja State, which is Muslim area. And have you heard of Boko Haram? Boko Haram is they're extremist Muslims that they kidnapped 300 Muslim girls from a school and did despicable things to them because they didn't think they were strict enough. And these brethren came up to me from Boko Haram, and I knew that they were there. And the superintendent from that state came up to me, and he said, oh, Dad, pray for us. And I said, now I'm right, you're from Abuja State, right? Oh, yes, yeah, Dad, we're from Abuja State. Now, isn't that dangerous? Oh, yeah, Dad, there's bombings, there's kidnappings, there's rape, there's torture, there's killings. Yes, okay, so what can I pray for you? Thinking, pray for that we get out of here, go to the United States, pray that we have protection, pray for us. I said, what do you want me to pray for you? None of that. No, pray, Dad, pray that we will reach our state with the gospel of Christ. I just received a phone call before I left. Man said, Pastor, we're not going to come to church anymore. I was at the airport leaving for Nigeria. I said, what's wrong? Well, so-and-so brother, such brother had called our home and was asking for me. And my wife answered and said, I'm sorry, my husband is not available. And can I take a message? No, I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to him. And he hung up the phone. And I just think we're going to stop coming to church. Let me tell you about 2 men that were ordained that day, Friday. Well, let me tell you about one of the 2 men that was ordained, Cornelius. Brother McLean, Cornelius is the one that would come. Every time we got out of the car, he would come with, and he'd say, Dad, Mom, can I carry your bag? Can I carry your purse, Mom? Come, I'll get you to your chairs. Clean off the chairs. Here, sit, Dad. Sit, Mom. We're so glad you're here. Bow. Make us like we're some big people. after service, he comes. Say, Dad, let me take your stuff. I bring you. No, don't talk to Dad. He's tired. He preached. Leave him alone. Come. Mom, thank you for coming. The sweetest spirited man. He was getting ordained. And Brother McLean said, now, Cornelius, I know that you have really sacrificed for the Lord. He proceeded to say that he had been beat up three separate times by Muslims for preaching about Jesus Christ. Three times in his village, beat up for preaching about Jesus. And I think about the guy, yeah, we're not going to come to church because he was rude to my wife. He hung up on her. My God. Dad, can I help you? Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming to Nigeria. People don't like to come to Nigeria. Thank you for coming to Nigeria. I've preached for almost 40 years. If you will sacrifice and if you're faithful, God will protect you. And I've always felt that that meant physically, but I have a new understanding after being in Nigeria. The men and the women with the greatest attitudes, the most respectful to authority, and the greatest joy are those who have suffered the most. Jesus said it this way in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." What's my translation there? Happy are you, amen, when you go through the sacrifice for my name. Happy are you when you suffer for my name. You see, faithfulness and sacrifice protect your spirit. Amen. You know what? I have no excuse. Amen. I have no excuse whatsoever to have a bad attitude. I have no excuse. Amen. If things aren't going how I think they ought to go. You want to know something? I'm going to say it again. You are here today because of the sacrifice of others. You are here today. I am here today because of the sacrifice of others. I'm praying for a spirit of sacrifice to touch each and every one of us here today. I don't want to lose the anointing. I don't want to go through the emotions. My God, we struggle coming to church. We struggle teaching Bible studies. We struggle praying and reading our Bible and fasting. We struggle with living a separated lifestyle. Come on. What do we want? It's so easy. I realize it would be easier right now if I took an offering. Because you've already given, and anything you give now would be a sacrifice. The Lord's not after your money. He's after your heart. What the Lord wants is you. Talking about a memorial sacrifice. I'm talking about sacrificing today so future generations can experience the anointing. I'm talking about, praise the Lord, giving of yourselves today. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord, here I am. Whatever you want to do in my life, you can use me. Praise the Lord. Oh, let's stand together. Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Oh, Father, I pray I preach this right. I am not an expert at this subject, but I am a byproduct of this subject. I stand here today because of a godly mother and a godly father, a godly grandmother and a godly grandfather, a godly great-grandmother, amen, that prayed, that sacrificed. Oh, God, I don't want to lose the anointing. I don't want to sit here and just take this for granted. Your pastor's working. He's got to go to work tomorrow. Amen. He's not full-time ministry. Oh, he's full-time ministry. But he's not. He's every day. Every day, Brother Sister Brown here sacrificing. Every day. Folks, come on. Romans 12:1. I'm done. Two verses. I'm done. Preached a long time. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You want to know how you can have purpose in life? A lot of people think, I don't have purpose. I don't know what. What am I supposed to do? I don't know. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's God's will for my life? What is my purpose? Well, just go the reverse here. You got to think right. You got to think right. Well, how should I think? Not how the world thinks. Could you put verse 1 up? So how can I think like the world's not thinking? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I propose to you that the reason why so many people don't have purpose in life, because they're not willing to give their lives a living sacrifice. If you're wandering here today, I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be mean. I pray my spirit's right. But you're wandering and you're confused and you have no purpose. Not because the family you were born into, not because you don't have enough money, not because of your education or lack thereof. No. No. I'll take you across the world. Get in a plane and let's take an 18-hour trip. And I'll show you Barnabas and I'll show you Cornelius, who would think you live like a king, a queen. No, it's not our things. It's our spirit, our attitude. We're not willing to be a living sacrifice. Hamoko shatayata yata. Hialamoko shandayata rabakata. Hialamoko tayata rabahata. Hialamoko tayata rabakata yata. If you want to know who the Holy Ghost is speaking to, it's to you. Amen. This sacrifice releases the anointing. And in the anointing, there is fulfillment. Are you afraid? Are you troubled? Are you anxious? There is protection in sacrifice. There is strength in sacrifice. Sacrifice releases the anointing. This altar is open. This altar is open for you, sir. This altar is open for you, ma'am. Brother, sister, you should be at this altar. Amen. 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 We're not taking another offering, amen, of money, but we are taking an offering, amen, to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. You only got one arm? Hey man, you only got one leg. Maybe you can't bring three kids, but you can bring some bread. You can bring what you can bring. Come on. I give myself to you, Father. I give myself to you, Father. Ya ta 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 ya